Chapter 33 Jane had crested the latest in a long series of chalk dunes, and found an Imperial Walker looming over the next one, its white cockpit and armored passenger hump silhouetted against the darkness deeper in the passage. She hissed a warning to those behind her, then dropped into a defensive crouch and snapped her lightsaber from her harness. An obsolete all-terrain armored transport was the last thing she expected to see inside a Yuuzhan Vong world ship. But 100 Rogue Squadron actions had taught her never to be surprised by anything. When a glow stick came to life in the AT-AT's cockpit viewport, she yielded to her battle-honed instincts and hurled herself down the slope in a series of evasive zigzag somersaults. As Jaina rolled, she felt herself sinking into that odd state of emotional numbness that seemed to accompany any fight these days. Other pilots sometimes spoke of feeling detached or outside themselves in combat, usually about 2 missions before they made some stupid mistake and let a scarhead send them Nova. But this was closer to resignation, to a weary acceptance of the horror and heartache that was battle. She would have liked to attribute such feelings to her trust in the Force, but she knew better. Her reaction was emotional armor, a way to avoid the anguish that came with watching a friend or wingmate die horribly, and to deny the fear that her turn was coming. Jaina reached the bottom in a billowing cloud of chalk dust and rolled to a stop. She sprang into a low battle crouch and brought her lightsaber around in a middle guard, then heard a familiar hissing sound.
"Styx, you should grow a tail,"
Tsar 17 said.
"Maybe you would not be so clumsy."
This drew a series of chortles from Kossoff and Bella. "Very funny," Jaina retorted. Even without the battle meld, which Jason was leaving down in an attempt to dampen the growing discord in the group, she was cognizant of the rest of the strike team's silent amusement.
"You could have said something." "And I could pluck the scales from over my heart," Bella rasped. "But I do not."
There was more sissing. Jaina stepped out of the chalk cloud to find the Barabels waiting with Anakin and the other team members. Their vac suits, now folded into their self-storing protection packs, and clipped to the back of their equipment harnesses. Caked hood to heels in dust and looking more like Jedi ghosts than Jedi knights. They were sitting against the passage wall, keeping a sharp watch for the coral skippers that always seemed to come around, spraying some enervating breath agent whenever they stopped. 2 pairs of footprints, one set huge and obviously Wookiee, led over the next dune toward the AT-AT. Jaina stretched out through force and felt Lobaka inside the walker with Jovan Drark.
"Where did that thing come from?"
"The trainers are very thorough," Lomi explained. "They keep an entire city of slaves to operate captured equipment, so they can habituate their voxen to lifeless abhorrences. There is nothing they will not do to rid the galaxy of Jedi."
"There's even a starliner berthed in a grotto hangar," Welk offered. Notions of crashing a 1,000,000-ton spacecraft into the cloning facility began to fill Jaina's mind.
"Is it?" "The energy converters have been removed," Lomi said. "Even the walkers and land speeders run on low-capacity battery banks instead of fuel slugs. They cannot range much farther from the slave city than this."
"Of course,"
Jaina sighed. Given a few resources and a little time, she and Lobaka might well have found a way to restore the machinery. But with the infiltration already 30 hours old, the last thing the strike team could do was give the Yuuzhan Vong more time to react. A pale green tint began to come over the chalky passage, and Jaina looked up to see Mirker, pushing its emerald disk across a jagged patch of window membrane that had been used to mend a 20-meter breach in the outer shell of the world ship. She suddenly felt rejuvenated, a little less jittery and worried. There was something about the arrival of a bright body in the sky that always made her feel as though she had just risen from a long night in a warm bunk. Jovan Drak's Rodian voice buzzed over the comlink. "The Force has favored us today. The batteries still have a charge,
but the power feeds have been isolated by mineral secretions. A shiver of danger sense raced down Jaina's spine.
Secretions? She calmed.
It appears to be an insect nest, Jovan reported. Labaka is cleaning it off now.
Jason's voice came over the comm channel.
What kind of insects? Though her twin brother was always interested in new creatures, Jaina sensed through their bond that he was asking out of more than curiosity.
If they look like worms with legs, it's no shakopede hive, Jovan calmed. These are little flit gnats, completely harmless.
Nothing the Yuuzhan Vong create is harmless, Alimarar said to Anakin. This is a trap.
Everything's a trap with you,
Tahiri objected.
As she spoke, the walker's cockpit illumination activated, creating a band of pale light above the next dune.
Why can't the Force just be with us for once? We could all use the ride.
Anakin wisely looked to Lomi. What do you know about those things?
That they are an unnecessary risk.
She pointed down the way to where the passage ended in a sheer face of Yorick coral.
We have almost reached our destination. The main cloning lab is only a kilometer beyond that wall.
About time, Zek said, joining the rest of the group. I was beginning to think you were stalling.
Lomi smiled sourly.
You will understand if I prefer alive over fast, Zek. Our fates will be the same in this.
She's kept us out of trouble so far, Anakin added, scowling at Zek's provocative tone.
In contrast to nearly everyone else on the strike team, Anakin seemed completely untroubled by the time it had taken to negotiate the training course.
Let's make the safe play and avoid the walker. We'll be done and on our way home in 2 hours anyway. 4 at the most.
Careful, Anakin, Jaina said. You're beginning to sound like Dad.
Despite the jovial smile she flashed, Jaina was distressed by her younger brother's overconfidence. Having lost only Ulaha and the 2 droids, despite all their setbacks, Anakin seemed to think that the strike team was untouchable, that even an entire world ship full of Yuuzhan Vong could not stop a single platoon of well-trained Jedi. That might even be true, but Jaina had learned in Rogue Squadron that being best guaranteed nothing, that plans went awry for everyone, and always at the worst possible moment. Anakin nodded to the Barabels, who never seemed to tire of walking point, and the strike team started up the dune in a billowing dust cloud. Jaina stayed at her brother's side, debating the wisdom of pointing out how much trouble they were in. Before leaving Eclipse, Ulaha and the tacticians had estimated that the mission's likelihood of success would drop 2% with every hour of duration, which meant that the strike team's chances had to be approaching 0 by now. Add to that the fact that the Yuuzhan Vong had anticipated their assault far enough in advance to set an ambush and send Numanor to recapture them, and the odds had clearly fallen to minuscule. Even the Wraiths would have given up at this point and called for extraction, but that was not an option for the strike team. They had known from the outset that any flotilla sent to support the operation would be destroyed either crossing the war zone or once it was detected near Mirkur. Seeing this as his chance to save the galaxy, Anakin had insisted on coming anyway, arguing that if the group needed to be rescued, the Jedi were already doomed, and with them, the New Republic itself. As much as it frightened her, Jaina thought he was probably right. As they neared the top of the dune, Anakin asked, "Jaina?" She looked over and was struck by how tall her brother had grown, by how handsome he had become, even with several days of beard growing through the chalk on his face.
Yeah?
What are you doing out of line?
He glanced over his shoulder, then spoke so quietly he had to use the Force to carry his words to her ears.
Is there something you want to say?
Jaina smiled.
There is.
She reached over and squeezed his forearm.
You're doing a good job, Anakin. If we're going to get this done, it's because of your confidence and determination.
Thanks, Jaina.
Anakin probably meant his lopsided grin to be cocky, but to his sister it seemed more surprised, perhaps even relieved.
I know.
Sure you do.
Jaina laughed. She punched him in the shoulder hard enough to make him stumble, then added,
Just remember to keep your guard up.
They crested the dune and found themselves looking into the AT-AT's transperisteel viewport. Jaina thought at first that the interior lighting had been dimmed, but then she noticed Lobaka's jumpsuit-covered rump protruding up behind the instrument console and realized the Merc had less to do with illumination than swarming flitgnats. So thick were the insects that the main access tunnel was not even visible, only a slight darkening where it led out of the cockpit back into the passenger compartment. Anakin was instantly on his comlink. Streak, what are you doing in there? I said... Lobaka growled a terse reply, his shaggy hand reaching up to slap a filter housing on the console. Master Lobaka reports that he is simply trying to retrieve some needed equipment, MTD translated for those who did not understand, Shrywook. And please forgive his brusqueness. The flitgnats are starting to bite.
Bite? Jaina echoed.
She eyed the distance up to the cockpit and began to gather the force in preparation for a long jump.
What about you, Jovan?
When no answer came, Anakin calmed.
Jovan?
Lobaka's furry head appeared from behind the instrument console and turned toward the rear of the cockpit. He barked a query through the access tunnel, then rose to his feet, a second filter housing dangling from his hand. Jedi Drak fails to answer, MTD reported. Master Lobaka can see him.
Dangling from a belly hatch,
Tisar interrupted.
Kossoff will bring him down.
Lobaka grunted an acknowledgement and, scratching furiously beneath the collar of his jumpsuit, turned back to the instrument console.
Lobaka? Jaina called. What are you doing? Get out of there.
The Wookiee growled a garbled explanation about needing face masks, then dropped heavily to his knees and returned to his work. A long arm rose into view and clumsily piled a handful of hoses with the filter housings, then slipped down behind the console and did not reappear.
Oh my, MTD reported. Master Lobaka seems to be suffering a processor crash.
Using the force to lift her the extra 5 meters in height, Jaina somersaulted off the chalk dune and landed lightly atop the cockpit roof, then nearly plummeted backward when Anakin and Zek landed beside her. Anakin thumbed his lightsaber active and plunged it into the seam of the cockpit escape hatch. Jaina ignited her own blade and began to work in the opposite direction, while Zek dropped to his belly and dangled over the front to peer in through the viewport.
I can't believe it, he said. He's still trying to get the face masks.
Perhaps he is getting tired of carrying unconscious Jedi,
Lomi said, alighting next to the others. She pointed to two places on opposite sides of the hatch.
Cut there and there.
Jaina and Anakin did as he instructed, their lightsabers whining sharply as they burned through the hatch's locking bolt and reinforced hinges. As they continued to work, Ganner's voice came over the comlink.
Jovan's alive, but dizzy and sick. Tekli thinks she can save him.
Save him?
Anakin gasped.
You should see, Anakin, Tahiri calmed. I didn't know Rodians swelled up like that.
Anakin paled and said nothing, focusing all his effort on getting to Lobaka.
Orders, Ganner requested.
We must retreat and try another way, Lomi suggested.
Anakin shook his head firmly.
Never.
A muffled thud sounded from inside the cockpit. Then Zek said,
Hut slime, he's out.
Jaina's lightsaber burned through the hatch bolt with a final acrid sizzle. She snapped the blade off and hung the handle on her equipment harness.
Anakin, maybe you should listen to her, she said nervously. If this is a trap, they'll be coming for us.
So what if they are?
Anakin's knuckles whitened as he continued to cut. We're Jedi, aren't we?
The value of sacrifices has a limit, even to Yuuzhan Vong, Lomi warned. They will kill us before allowing us to reach the cloning lab. We must go around.
I thought that was why we came this way,
Zek said over his shoulder.
They anticipated us,
Lomi said simply.
but there are other ways.
And when they anticipate those? Anakin demanded, cutting through the last centimeter of reinforced hinge.
Then we try another way, and another, Jaina said.
She knew their situation would only grow worse as time passed, but she also knew it would be fatal to let the odds pressure Anakin into a rash act.
Sooner or later we may have to fight, but on our terms, not theirs.
The soft hiss of a breaking seal sounded from the hatch, as it finally came free and settled deeper into its seating ring. Anakin deactivated his lightsaber and, still not responding to Jaina or Lomi, stepped away.
"Anakin, there's a dust cloud coming up the canyon toward us, and I don't think it's a New Republic land speeder," Ganner said. "How about those orders?"
"In a second," Anakin snapped.
He let out a calming breath, then knelt beside the hatch and looked to Jaina. "Ready?"
"Ready."
Even without the battle meld, perhaps even without the Force, she was close enough to her younger brother to sense what he wanted from her.
"Watch yourselves."
Jaina levitated the heavy escape hatch out of its seat and moved it aside. A few flitgnats drifted out of the opening, their wings emitting a barely audible buzz as they circled Anakin and began to land on his face. Paying no attention, he peered into the cockpit and used the Force to pull Lobaka up into the hatchway. Even beneath his thick fur, the flitgnats were visible on his face, teeming over his eyelids and swarming inside his black nostrils. His cheeks and lips were swollen to twice their normal size, and his breath came in strangled coughs. The Wookiee's huge shoulders proved too broad to fit through the hatchway, and Anakin had to lower him back into the cockpit. The instant the opening was clear, clouds of flitgnats began to pour out, lighting on Anakin's face and drawing a hissed curse as they started to bite. He leaned into the AT-AT and grabbed Lobaka's arms, then pulled them through the hatchway first. Along with Zek, Jaina dropped to her brother's side and grabbed an arm so Anakin could concentrate on squeezing the unconscious Wookiee through the narrow space. Her hands and face exploded in stinging pain as the flitgnats swarmed. Lomi stepped behind the others and made a feeble attempt to call up a Force wind, which failed to blow the insects away. As Lobaka's torso came through the hatchway, masses of blood-bloated flitgnats began to drop from his sleeves. The skin on his hands had been chewed bald, and was already erupting into purple lumps the size of Jaina's fingertips. Anakin's only reply was to pull Lobaka the rest of the way through. A billowing cloud of flitgnats poured out behind the Wookiee, prompting Jaina to turn for the hatch. The flitgnat bites were already making her sick and itching so madly, she had to take a second to concentrate before she could levitate the heavy piece of steel. When she turned back around, it was to find Lomi summoning an armful of filter housings and breath masks through the hatchway.
"Mustn't forget these."
Lomi gathered the equipment into her arms and started toward the front of the cockpit, where Anakin was already lowering Lobaka to the dune below.
The Wookiee did risk his life for them.
Jaina slipped the hatch into place, then felt Zek's hand on her arm. She was surprised to find herself stumbling as he pulled her off the front of the cockpit after the others. Though the drop was brief, it was long enough to draw a distracting rise from her queasy stomach. They landed hard between Anakin and Lomi, where Jaina fell to her knees and remained, at once choking on chalk dust, itching madly, and trying to keep her gorge down. Across her back, Lomi asked,
"What do you think now, young Solo, still determined to fight?"
Anakin thought for a moment, then said,
"Blaster bolts."
He pulled Jaina to her feet and sent her stumbling down the back side of the dune, then activated his comlink.
"Ganner, let's go. Retreat."